Union Vista.
Good morning.
Good to see you. We're glad that you're here. It's another beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with, and we are glad that you have come to share in a time of fellowship and a time of worship as we continue on this morning talking about and sharing God's Word about overcoming strongholds. We've talked about overcoming the stronghold of shame, of guilt, and this morning we talk about overcoming the stronghold of fear. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll have a couple more messages for you. They'll mean a lot to me personally, and I hope they'll mean as much to you as we talk about overcoming the stronghold of anxiety and overcoming a stronghold of depression. You know, two topics that are special to me, important to me, and I hope they'll be as important to you. This morning, we talk about this topic of fear and overcoming it. Fear is a very natural response. You know, we talked last week about how that guilt is a very natural response to things. If we are a human being and we do something that we know is wrong or that we do something we know to be inappropriate, it is a natural response that we would feel bad or we would feel guilty for what we have done. And I think we all shared how that we have felt guilt at some point in time in our life for something that we have done wrong. Well, fear is a very natural response to things. And I want you to know and understand that fear, much like guilt, has logical responses. You know, there's going to be moments in your life where you feel fear, and it's the natural thing to feel in that moment. It's very natural if you get very bad news, medically or even otherwise, to feel a moment of fear. I can tell you from the job that I do, there have been moments where I felt fear. And sometimes fear can play a very important role in keeping you safe. I'm sure you've been in a situation where you feared something, and rightfully so, and that fear maybe kept you from doing something that might have gotten you or someone else hurt. So fear can be a very natural response. But what we want to talk about this morning is how that fear, in the illogical senses, how that fear, when we allow it to run uncontrolled in our mind because of something that we allow just to take hold in our mind that's illogical or irrational, how that fear can be used as a stronghold of Satan to keep us from doing the things that God wants us to do as His servants. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. One verse this morning, I'd ask if you would stand with me so we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Paul, in his writings to Timothy, remembering these prison letters, Paul, nearing the end of his life, nearing the end of his ministry, writes to Timothy, a boy, a man that he has been mentoring to be a servant of the Lord. And these were some of the words that Paul shared with Timothy. He says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank You for the beautiful sunshine. Lord, we thank You for the gift and the mercy that You have shown us and bestowed upon us this week. And Lord, I pray, Father, as You have brought us here this morning in this place to worship and to honor Your name, that Lord, we'll now come to Your Word and that Lord, we will learn something about overcoming this stronghold of fear. I know that there have been moments and times and seasons in my life where in serving You, I have not done as I should have done, or I have not done as You would want me to do, because of fear. I have allowed fear in moments in my life to keep me from doing and being the man of God that You would want me to be. And Lord, I know that there are others here this morning who struggle with this idea of fear, Lord, and I pray that You from Your Word can teach us this morning about how illogical our fears can really be, how that Satan can use fear as a stronghold, Lord, to keep us down, how that he can use fear to lie to us, how that he can use fear to make us feel so unworthy and so useless in moments. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's anybody here who is struggling this morning with fear, that, Lord, they will turn to You and to You alone as the answer to overcoming this mighty stronghold. Lord, I pray most of all that if there's somebody here today, Lord, who has never known You in the free pardon of sin, that, Lord, if fear is standing in the way of them coming to know You, a fear of what others may say, a fear that they are not good enough, a fear that their life is going to radically change and they just don't know how, Lord, I pray that all of those fears would be laid aside and that before it's everlasting too late, they'd come and they'd give their heart and their life to You and be saved. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's a Christian here, Lord, who just needs an encouragement and upliftment, Lord. Father, I pray that Your Spirit will lead them to that. Lord, I would ask this morning that You use me as Your mouthpiece and as Your tool. It's nothing more for Your honor and for Your glory. Lord, I pray that I might decrease, that You could have the increase. Lord, You would but preach me as a dying man to a lost and a dying world. Lord, we just ask for Your Holy Spirit to reign supreme here this morning. It's all of it we ask in Your holy and precious name. Amen. And we talked about the fact that fear is a very logical response at moments. But we also talk about the fact how that fear can be so illogical. How that there's things that can get into our hearts and into our minds and we allow it to take seed and to take control and it just runs wild. Is anybody's mind like that? You know, my mind usually gets like that when I lay down to go to sleep. Anybody else? Yeah, I lay down to go to sleep. I lay down to rest, and it's like my mind begins to think of all of these different things. And I'll be honest with you, in reality, in hindsight 2020, when it's kind of all over with, or when I wake up the next day, I think about how illogical or how silly or even how, I'll use the word stupid, it was that I worried and thought about those things. But in the moment, it seems so hard to lay down some of those illogical things that we think up in our hearts and in our minds. And sometimes those things can take such a deep root into our hearts and our minds that we begin to fear. And we begin to fear things that are illogical. Anybody fear anything that's just kind of silly? Anybody ever had a fear of something, a situation, a scenario? And in reality, when it was all said and done, it really wasn't as bad as you thought it was going to be. Everybody has. The first day of school. Can anybody remember that? Our kids went back to school for most of us this last week. Can you remember the very first day that you ever went to school? What was that like? How much did you fear it? I know some kids probably are excited to go to school. But most kids growing up, the first time they're going to leave mom and dad, the first time they're going to be left probably with somebody outside of their family, is school. And they're going to go there for a half day or a full day. And if you can remember what that was like as a young person, how afraid you were and how much you got mad at your mom and your dad for leaving you with a total stranger. And now here you are as an adult and you're leaving your kids with, in essence, a total stranger to teach them and to educate them and to kind of show them the educational path that they should go. You realize that it's really not that bad. And you realize how that your fear was very illogical. But I want you to know that Satan does an amazing job of convincing us that some of the most ridiculous things are really something to be afraid of. Amen? I've struggled with that. I've struggled with that in ministry. And I've convinced myself in moments and in times that things that were so foolish, so silly, were really important. And I've allowed those things, because of the fear that I had in my mind and the fear that I had in my heart, I've allowed those things to keep me from doing what in the moment I knew that I really should have done. Let's talk about the mission of fear. The first thing that I want us to see this morning is, what is the mission of fear as Satan has in store for us? I believe that one of the greatest missions of fear as Satan has in store for us is to cause anger. Does anybody get mad and angry when you become afraid? That's a response for some people. When they become afraid, they become angry. They become upset. They may be angry at the situation. They may be angry about the fact that it caught them off guard. They may be angry about the fact that it's going to make them look bad. They may be angry because they just don't know what to do. They're angry about the uncertainty. You're just angry because you're angry. Did anybody ever get angry because you're angry? You're upset? Yes, you're a liar. If there's nobody else in here besides me and John that will not admit to that, you are liars. I want you to be honest with yourself. There are times when I get afraid and it makes me mad. It makes me upset. Fearful situations do make me upset. And you cannot convince me that as a mom or a dad, that sometimes when you fear things that you don't get angry. When I was a kid growing up, I can remember doing things that scared my mother and my father. And you know what happened? They got mad. They got upset. And they got angry by the fact that I had done something that scared them. Have you ever as a child done something in such a way to your mom and your dad that you scared them by what you did and it made them mad and upset? as a mother and a father, has your child ever done something that scared you in such a way that it made you angry? Yes. You know, you can tell me that it's not, and you can ignore it all you want to, but the truth and reality is sometimes when we fear and we get afraid, we get angry. What's that? And a whooping comes. That's right. We talked a little bit about that last week too. You know, and sometimes I've gotten a few whippings and a few spankings that were probably a little bit harder than maybe what I thought I deserved at the moment in time, but because I scared the wits out of my parents, they added a little extra lick or two in there just to help me remember for next time. Amen? Anybody else ever experienced that? Sometimes in the midst of our fear, we get angry. We get upset. What is it that anger does? You know, anger, especially among God's people, among church people, when we fear and we get angry, becoming angry and expressing our anger has the ability to destroy relationships. Do you know that? You see, when we get angry, we say things and we do things that as our normal selves, we would never say or we would never do. In the midst of being angry, we will think about things that we probably never ordinarily would even think about. And if you want to be honest with yourselves, you can admit that, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I've done that. I do that all the time. I think about James, the brother of Jesus, in his writings in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. He says this. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Why? Why? "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." You see, when we get afraid, and Satan knows this, when we get afraid, sometimes our natural response is to become angry. And when we become angry, we say things, we do things, we think things, we feel things that we normally wouldn't say, think, or feel. And we react and we respond in such a way that really in the end we become very ashamed of. And what ends up happening? Anger produces not the righteousness of God in us. That's the reason why we should be slow to anger and slow to wrath, because it produces something other than God's righteousness in us. So Satan knows exactly what he's doing when he instills in our heart and our mind this emotion and this feeling of fear. Because when we're afraid, we may respond with anger, and when we're angry, we'll respond in such a way that is something other than the very righteousness of God. So Satan's mission by invoking fear is to produce anger. But what else? He doesn't stop there. Sometimes in the midst of fear, we also see that Satan invokes upon us insecurities. Everybody know what an insecurity is? I hope that you do. You probably have some insecurities of your own. Insecurities can be very big, they can be very small, and everything in between. You know, I've known people over the years that couldn't stand the walking into a crowded room because of this insecurity of, when I walk in that room, when people look at me, what will they say and what will they think? Now, for some of us, we could care less. Now, me personally, I'm a little bit like that. Not as bad, but I know some people that have a strong fear of just walking into a crowded room because of what people will say, what will people think, how they will feel. But I know for some, probably even some of you in here right now, the idea of walking into a room like that invokes such a strong sense of fear because you have insecurities about yourself. You know, insecurities can be come in all shapes and sizes. I mean, insecurities could be about your weight. It could be about your hair. It could be about your skin complexion. I mean, it could be about the way you talk. It could be about your accent. I just love it when I travel places and people comment about my accent. Anybody else like that? Even when I travel to the South, it amazes me that people still comment about my accent. You know, I was at a show this weekend with my knife making, and a gentleman shook my hand. And he says, "Where are you from? I can tell you have an accent." And he was from Georgia. I thought, wow, yeah, I know. I was like, golly, I don't know. But, you know, I get a little insecure about my accent sometimes, especially where I work in Lexington now. And I think people probably do make fun of the way I talk and the way I say things and probably even the way that I do things. So I get a little insecure about that at moments in time. But you see, fear and insecurity is one of those things that seem to go hand in hand with one another. And we might allow our fear and we might allow our insecurities to really keep us from saying things and doing things and being the man and woman of God that He wants us to be. Why? Because we're afraid. You know, if I do what God wants me to do, what will people think of me? If I do what God wants me to do, how are people going to look at me? How are people going to respond to what I have to say? Are people going to make fun of the way I talk? Are people going to make fun of the fact that I don't really know enough about the Bible, that I don't study enough, that I don't pray enough? There's all kinds of insecurities that pop up and come to mind. And let me tell you, Satan is awesome at convincing you that your insecurities are really bigger than what they are. Does it really matter if somebody makes fun of you for the accent that you have or the way that you talk? You may not be the best public speaker in the world, but I do believe this. God gives us talents and abilities, and God puts us in places and in moments and in situations because He wants to use us. And God doesn't make a mistake about that. Amen?
Amen.
Never allow your insecurities or the fear of your insecurities to keep you from being the man or woman of God, doing the things that God wants you to do. I think about 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Here's an important thing to remember. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Think about that. You see, when you walk into that crowded room, it might be a little bit logical to think that, yeah, people might laugh or make fun of my insecurities because I'm not very tall, maybe because I'm shorter, I'm a little overweight, or I don't like that I have thinning hair, my complexion's not that great, whatever the case may be. But think about this. Man only has the ability to look upon your outward appearance. You see, the Lord told Samuel, don't look upon his stature. Don't look upon his height. I've already rejected him. Man sees the outward, but I see the inward. I know the heart. Satan might try to convince you that your insecurities should keep you down, that your fears are very logical, when in reality, God knows your heart. What else is the mission of fear? Satan doesn't stop there. He causes anger when we become afraid. He causes our insecurities to rise up. But I also know that sometimes fear invokes within us the fear of the loss of control. One of the biggest things that people have told me over the years of serving, if they're really honest, and I've talked to a lot of very honest people about their fears of becoming a Christian and their fears of serving the Lord, and a lot of it has to do with the loss of control. If I serve God, if I give my life to Him, if I do what He wants me to do, how am I going to be able to do the things that I want to do? Let's be real with each other. How many of us have this fear of how am I going to do what I want to do in my life if I do what God wants me to do? Truthfully, that's something we think about. You may not admit it to me. You may not admit it to your mom or your dad. You may not admit it to your closest friend whom you would tell everything. But if you're being truthful and honest with yourself, there's moments and times where God works on your heart and He's calling you to do something, whether it's to preach or whether it's to teach, whether it's to lead, whether it's to serve, to be a missionary, whether it be a missionary at home, a missionary abroad, and you have this fear in your heart and in your mind, if I go and do these things, how can I do what I want to do? How can I play sports? How can I have the family? How can I have the job that I want? How can I live the lifestyle that I want? How can I make the money that I want to make if I do what God wants me to do? One of the biggest hurdles that we have to overcome is that fear of losing control of the situation. In reality, that should be the very least of the things that we worry about when it comes to answering the question of will I or will I not do what God is asking me to do. We have this fear that if we surrender and give it all to Him, that we're not going to be able to live that lifestyle. We're not going to be able to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. The truth is, it's all God's anyways. Amen?
Amen.
Everything that He gives you, everything that He blesses you with, everything that He takes away, it's all His anyways. Your life, as much as you would like to think and believe that you are in control of your life, listen to me. Listen to me. If you think you are in control of your life, you are sadly mistaken. Every breath of air you breathe is given to you by God.
Amen.
And one day, He won't give you any more. You'll get your last one, and you'll leave this world. That'll be it. God is in control. One of the greatest decisions that you can make in this life is to not fear losing control of something you don't have control of anyways, and allowing God to move mightily in your life. You see, Satan's mission in illogical fear is to make you angry, to say things, to do things, and to feel things that you wouldn't normally feel, to bring up insecurities that may be silly or foolish, to make you think that what man sees in me is not good enough, when in reality it's all about what God sees in your heart anyways, or to make you feel and believe that you're going to lose control of something that you don't have control of anyways. So how do I overcome that? How do I break this stronghold of feeling that I have to be in control? How do I break this stronghold of insecurity? How do I break this stronghold of being angry and having this fear in my life? How do I get to that place where there is no fear? There's four things that I quickly will share with you before we close. First, I want to share a quote, and I want you to write this down. Write it down. Memorize it. Put it in your phone, something. If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
I'll give you a second or two more. If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Here it is. If God called you to it, He will get you through it. I'll do that one for you again. If God called you to it, He will get you through it. A lot of times we have this fear that when God calls us to something, there's no way that I can do that. I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. I can't speak. I've not studied enough. I just can't. If God calls you to it, He will get you through it. So how do I get to that point of no fear? I believe the first thing that we have to do is make this decision to take a stand. Amen? We live in a nation and a world and society where people just will not stand up for what is right. I'm telling you, if you want to get to a point in your life where you serve God and you serve Him faithfully and you want to overcome fear, you have to make the conscious decision that I am going to take a stand. The Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you will have only to be silent." Wow. There were some promises in there. Remember that Moses is making a promise to a people who have lived in slavery. And he tells them, what God is going to do for you today is take you out of this place, and the people who have enslaved you, you will never be enslaved to them again. He says you'll never see them again. And he says the Lord will fight for you, and all you have to do is be silent. As other versions of the Scripture say in particular, it says, all you must do is be still. But notice what Moses says. He says, stand firm. Stand firm.
Believe what you believe to be true. Believe in the God that you know is an almighty God who is in control. Believe and know that God has the power and that God has the ability. All you've got to do is be still. All you've got to do is be quiet. All you have to do is stand firm. Who in here believes in the power of God? I think everybody can agree with that. That we serve a God who has the ability to save us. Save us from everything. He has the ability to forgive us of our sin and save us from our unrighteousness, our unholiness. He has the ability to save us from disease. He has the ability to save us from our most weakest moments in life. He has the ability to do amazing things because we really do serve an almighty God. What does that mean? If you believe that, if you want to live a life of no fear, stand firm on what you know to be true. Stand firm on His Word. Stand firm on His promise. All you have to do is be still, and He will fight for you. All those fears, all those insecurities, all that concern of the loss of control, all of that anger, all you have to do is stand firm, be still, and God will fight those battles for you. You want to come to a place where you have no fear? I believe it's important that we not only stand, but I believe we also have to pray, and in particular, pray for peace. Fear is one of those things that causes our mind just to be uncontrollable at moments, where we think about irrational things and illogical things. We think about silly things. We think about things that in the end are just really foolish. And we allow those things to get into our mind and get into our heart, and they consume us and they consume everything about us. It can make us not want to leave the house. It can make us not want to serve. It can make us not want to go to church. It can make us not want to teach or to preach or to share or whatever it is that God has called us to do. Fear has that ability to put all those things in our hearts and our mind. So we've got to stand firm, but I believe the next thing that we should do is pray, but in particular, pray for peace. Peace is a beautiful thing, is it not? Amen. I want to ask you one more time. Peace is a beautiful thing, is it not?
Amen.
Amen. And let me tell you something. You have no idea how beautiful that peace really is until you have no peace. You know, we went through that study in the book of Job. Man, I can tell you what, Job, I can promise you, one of the greatest things about Job coming kind of full circle in his journey was to once again have some peace in his life after everything that he went through. You have no idea how beautiful and how magnificent that peace is until you do not have it. I can tell you this, I've had some moments in my life where there was no peace. And I know this, fear has the ability to bring you to the point that you have no peace. God wants you to have peace. Do you know that? He does. God wants you to have peace. God wants you to have peace of mind. He wants you to have a peace of heart. Paul, in his writings to the church of Philippi, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, look at what he says. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," look at that, "and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see, when we pray, especially in the midst of fear, we should pray for God's peace. Why? Because the peace of God surpasses all the understanding of man. Your greatest understanding, the things that you think that you know about life, God knows it even better. Why? He's the creator of it all. How could you possibly think that you know more about life, that you know more about this world, that you have everything under control when we're talking about the God who created it? His peace surpasses all understanding. And it'll guard your hearts and it'll guard your minds in Christ Jesus. In the midst of fear, stand firm and know that God will fight your battles for you. But I also tell you this, pray to God, and in particular, pray for peace. Because His knowledge and His wisdom surpasses all understanding. And if you pray for peace and you pray for understanding, you'll find quickly that the silly things that you worry about, that your silly insecurities are so minute when you look at the greatness of God. Stand firm and pray for peace. But if you want to come to a place of no fear, I believe it also comes to us objecting to the lies. Fear is a liar. Amen, brother? Beautiful song. Beautiful message. What did we learn last week as we talked about guilt? We talked about our adversary, the devil. And how that our adversary, the devil, according to Christ, is one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We learned how our adversary, the devil, as the Lord said it, is the father of all lies. We learned how that our adversary, the devil, was such a good liar that he convinced the other host of angels, about a third of the heavens of the angels, to believe that he was an equal with God. And they rebelled against an almighty God, and he was cast out of heaven. So we learned that our adversary, the devil, who does his best to invoke fear within us, is a liar, that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that he is the father of all lies, and he believes himself his own lies, that he is equal and as great as God Almighty. So I believe that it's important as we stand firm and we pray for peace in the midst of our fear, that it's also important for us as believers to object to the lies. Because I want you to know that most of the fear that you have and that I have are subject to, why? Because Satan has convinced us of something. Because Satan has put something in our heart and in our mind that we have convinced ourselves and believe to be true. Know that Satan is a liar. Know that the things that Satan puts in your heart and your mind are not truths of God. But there are things that he tells you to invoke anger, to invoke insecurities, to make you feel like you can no longer be in control. He'll tell you things like you are unworthy, that you're nasty, that you'll never be good enough. He'll tell you that you have to change your life before you can serve God. He'll tell you that you have to be a different person before you can come and be saved. He'll tell you that God doesn't love you. He'll tell you that nobody loves you. He'll tell you that you don't even need to be alive, that you'd be better off dead. Man, Satan can tell us a lot of things that we can begin to believe to be truth. Object to the lies. Tell yourself, I am worthy because of Christ in me. Not because you're good enough, not because you're great enough, but because Christ loved you enough that He gave of Himself for you. Because of Him, you are worthy. Don't fall for the lies. Do not believe that God does not love you, because God loves you immensely. God loved you so much He gave His only Son for you. His only child He gave for you and for me and for all this world, that if we would only believe in Him that we might be saved. Don't believe that you can never do anything right. You can. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. There's going to be moments and seasons in your life where it feels like everything is just falling out from underneath you. But you can do things right. God has a purpose for you, and He will use you to do mighty things. Object to the lies. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 4 and 5 said it this way. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to what? To destroy strongholds." To destroy strongholds. He gives us the weapons we need to destroy strongholds. He says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." He gives us the power and the tools that we need to overcome these strongholds of fear, to destroy the arguments and the lofty opinions that people would project against God, especially those of Satan. Object to the lies, because God gives us the truth. Amen? Stand firm. Pray for peace. Object to the lies. And most of all, if you want to come to a point and a position in your life where you have no fear, you must learn to trust. You must learn to trust. Trust is a difficult thing. Why? Because there's not a person in this room today who has not trusted somebody that did not let them down. That's the reality. We have all trusted in people who have let us down. Maybe they meant to. Maybe they meant to let us down. They meant to hurt us. But chances are you've been let down by somebody who didn't even mean to let you down. They didn't mean to hurt you. It was the last thing they planned to do. But it happened. Trust is difficult. Because maybe it was the person you were married to. Maybe it was your mom. Maybe it was your dad. Maybe it was somebody that you truly love. They let you down. I'm not talking about learning to trust in people. I do believe that as Christians we have to learn to trust one another and to love one another and to uplift one another. But that's a whole other message for a whole other time. What I'm talking about is if you want to come to a place where there is no fear, you have to learn to trust in God. Learn to truly trust in Him. Psalms chapter 56, verses 3 and 4, the psalmist David said it this way. He says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in You." He's talking about God. When I am afraid, I put my trust in You. That's what it boils down to. When you're afraid, you don't need to put your trust in me. When you're afraid, you don't even need to put your trust in your spouse, your husband, or your wife. The person, the entity, the being whom you need to entrust yourself within in the moments of your fear is God. When I'm afraid, I'll trust in You. The psalmist David had so much experience with fear. So many moments in his life where he thought he would be destroyed. Not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally. And he says, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in You." If you're here and you are afraid, put your trust in Him. Object to the lies. Pray for God's peace that surpasses all understanding. Stand firm and know that God will fight your battles for you. As our praise and our worship team comes, we're going to move from this time of preaching. We come now to a time of response. I would ask of you today, if you are here and you struggle with this stronghold of fear, would you not come and ask God for the peace that He can provide? Would you not come and ask Him to change your heart and to change your life? Maybe you need to come and pray that He help you to stand still. Maybe you need the strength for Him just to fight your battles because you want to get involved. Know that it's not worth getting involved. Let the Lord fight this battle for you. Come and pray for that peace that surpasses all understanding. Maybe Satan has told you that you're unworthy, that you'll never be good enough, that God doesn't love you, that nobody loves you, that you're not contributing anything to your family, to your home. Whatever lies that Satan has fed you, I pray that you'll object to them today. Push that off, and God can help you do it. But most of all, trust in Him. I would ask that right now, as we get ready to sing, that if you're in that place of fear, do this. Come forward. Pray for strength. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray for you. But I'd ask that you'd step out. Stand firm. Object to the lies. Pray for peace. Trust in Him. Especially if you've never known Him. Never trusted in Him. Never given your heart and your life to Him. Trust in Him that He can save you because He's faithful and is just and has the ability. Trust in Him that He can change your life and He will come and be saved. However God is speaking and working on your heart, would you not come this morning? Lord, as we close out this service, Lord, as we come to this all-important time of response, Lord, I'd ask if there's anybody here who's never been saved, never given their life to You. Lord, I pray that right now they'd come and they'd be saved. Lord, Father, I pray for the Christians among us here today, Lord, who struggle with fear. They struggle with the anger that's caused by it. They struggle with this insecurity. Maybe they struggle with the idea of losing control. Lord, Father, I pray that they'll come and they'll ask for strength. Lord, I pray that they will come to tear down strongholds this morning. Lord, however You're speaking and working on the hearts of Your people, I just pray that we would be obedient to Your call. For it's all this we ask in Your name. Amen.